Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in the politics around us, in our spiritual life, and in our relationships. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Ronan, Montana, and I hope Ann Ortley and Mark Waltz will join me. With Mercury retrograde, it's not, you know, who knows? And it's been an interesting Mercury retrograde. I just saw an article where someone from the, hello, is that Ann?
That's me. Yep, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Ann. And happy
I didn't want
to
interrupt the Mercury retrograde story. Hi.
Oh, and I see Mark Waltz.
Mark Waltz.
The gang's all here.
Hi, Mark. The gang's all here. Hi, Mark.
Yes, okay. So I just introduced myself. You two introduce yourselves, and we'll take it from here.
I'm Ann Ortley, Bright Red Desk in New York City.
And Mark
and the Red Desk, too.
At the Hudson
mm-hmm.
River. Okay.
And Mercury retrograde is doing some interesting things at the moment. With apparently the Department of Justice just subpoenaed 30 more people for Trump's probe for January 6th, just today, looking into the past. Always an exciting thing to do with Mercury retrograde. England, with its the Queen that died, everybody is reviewing English history and their relationship to it. And I heard today that there was a big fire in front of a stadium where someone forgot to put out their charcoals and put their charcoal grill underneath their car in the car park and went into the game. Huge fire blew up. 10 cars are dust. And, you know, that's a classic Mercury retrograde. I've had a couple of close calls already this week with car accidents because, you know, a car seemed to come out of nowhere. So it's, you know, Mercury retrograde. Always play it safe. Double check things like put out the ashes in your grill and see which way the cars are coming. Anne, have you had any wild Mercury retrograde experiences so far?
No, I've been hanging low.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kind of going, okay. It was my
mm-hmm.
birthday yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it was the sun.
Woo.
It was the moon-Jupiter conjunction in my
mm-hmm.
solar return, and I looked at that and I thought, I got a fiery year ahead of me, so I'm going to be real aware of where everything is. So I've been paying very
mm-hmm.
very strong attention. But good. No, not bad. But I haven't had really any. I mean, I've had a lot of people I haven't heard from in a while returning because I do find on Mercury
mm-hmm.
retrograde
mm-hmm.
you get your ghosts back.
Oh,
and, of
yes.
course, I had them coming in the shadow, too, as well as, you know, the retrograde just happened on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also because Mars mm-hmm. is in his shadow with Gemini. In Gemini, so we have, you know, he's in Gemini, Mercury's in Libra, Venus and the Sun are in Virgo, so there's this whole big Gemini thing in the sky, like the news
mm-hmm,
is flying,
mm-hmm.
everything's quick and fast, and you can't really even keep up with it, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance, either one of you, to see that Moon-Jupiter conjunction, the full moon reaching towards
yes.
Jupiter? Oh, God,
yeah,
that was gorgeous.
Beautiful. It was really
whenever
beautiful.
I see Moon and Jupiter together, it kind of really lightens my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
well, Jupiter's
Mark,
been really bright up there. Yeah.
Oh, it has been.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was
Mark,
out in Colorado
last
week for a conference,
going.
And there was
mm-hmm.
tons of Jupiter in the sky. We just every time we went out at night, we could see him. Yeah.
Mm, gorgeous.
Mark,
isn't that?
How was your Mercury retrograde?
Just starting. I hardly ever feel Mercury retrograde at the beginning.
Right.
And
interesting.
Then it takes a while and it builds up, and then at the end, everything falls apart.
Did you move yet?
It falls apart. Well, we're moving with Mercury retrograde, so.
I know. Yeah, that was my question, because you're moving in the neighborhood, right? So I wondered
yeah.
if you finished your move yet. Yeah.
No. It's
no.
going to drag
okay.
on for a while. We're not used to moving, is why.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's retrograde
and
now, so You're not going to move back to the old place, so you're going to keep going forward, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going forward.
But you're going to go back and forth several times a day until it's all moved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then that's good. And so, that's been such an interesting phenomenon. I've noticed that a lot of people are kind of edgy with their beloveds. With Venus and Mars square, moving into a tight square coming up, but Venus and Mars square in mercurial signs, people are just a little edgy, and they're just a little cranky around the edges. So if you can catch yourself cranky and know that, first soothe yourself and take responsibility for your mood before you find everything they do is wrong, right?
Yeah. And as Venus in Virgo is forming a hammer of Thor this week with Eris and Pluto, so it's like bang, bang, bang. And Venus in Virgo is never particular. Venus is not particularly happy in Virgo, although she's in mutual reception with Mercury, so she can be charming. But right now she's swinging that hammer. So interesting that the hammer of justice with subpoenas getting sent out on today, the Moon in Aries, which is kind of a big. It's law and order. It's the cops coming for you. Moon in Aries are the cops, right? So
that Moon in Aries conjuncts Uranus tonight. I mean, Eris tonight. Go ahead, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
The Venus square Mars happens with the Sun opposite Neptune, too. So it'll be a big argument, and then who, me?
Right. The Alfred E. Newman reference. Who, me? What do you mean, me? Yeah.
Now, I had one of my Facebook friends who had is a person of color, and one of her friends she found was talking about an Indian casino, and she just gently, very kind language, says, we don't use that Indian word that way anymore. Why don't you try this? Try Native American, or find out the tribe that they're talking about. And she said it very kindly to kind of just gently help. And the woman got so upset that she disconnected from all the Facebook friends that had kind of gently said, hey, let's use a different language now in a very kind way. So, we might have a chance to be schooled. Life can school you, can say, just catch you on something, go like, hey, why don't you try something else? You don't notice that has this racist effect or this emotional effect. So give it another direction. And and take the training and just go, really, I'm sorry, and take the training, you find that it goes really easy and smooth. If you just get defensive and shut people out, it doesn't go so easy and smooth.
Right, right. And that's where we get that choice of paying attention. So I was telling a story in my podcast last week, and I use the word slave, and somebody wrote me very nicely and said, I really like your podcast, but it's called Enslaved People. And I'm like, oh, okay, when things evolve and change, slave is a verb, I slaved over the stove, but, calling, it's kind of like labeling people, as opposed to an adjective where you describe them, and but they're still people, right? So it's interesting, because one of the things that's been coming up with Queen Elizabeth's death is colonialism as a part of the British Empire, and I think we don't often recognize our words, the origins of our words, where they come from, until we find out. So I remember going to Ellis Island way back when, and I knew the word WOP was a slur to Italian Americans, but I didn't know why. And we're on Ellis Island, they're doing the tour, and they would write, if someone arrived without papers, they would write it on their coat, that they arrived in a boat from Italy without papers. So, so the origin was from there, but then it turned into a slur, which I didn't know where it came from, but I found it out. And I think that's important, when we have with Mercury, certainly with Mercury and Mars and Gemini saying, hey, you know, might be a better way to say this than that. And sometimes we go, really? Like, you know, like, I like that word. Why am I thinking that word up? You know? But then we have to go, okay, well, I might like that word, but someone else finds it difficult or finds it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just being, you know, it's being aware of how you talk, what you say and how you talk, and recognizing there's different ways to say things that can accomplish the same thing. But, you know, so I really appreciate that woman writing to me and saying enslaved people, because they're still people, but they have a condition applied to them. And it was very helpful. But I do think we're going to have a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it gets labeled as woke, you know, by some people. And I'm always like, I like being awake. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a compliment.
Yeah.
You know, but I also recognize we really, the power of words is very strong. The words are mightier than the sword, right? So it's how we say things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That goes along with, what? They're making the queen a man now? That's too woke. You know, so. But yes, that whole process, I read something about Celtic phraseology, which was an interesting, because, you know, Mercury and Venus and Mars are now both in mercurial signs, so we're talking about the language and emotions around language, which is very interesting. But,
right, yeah.
And that instead of saying in the old, you know, Celtic tradition, on the old Irish language, that I am sad, you say, sadness is upon me. And, you know, that who I am isn't, I'm not identifying with the sadness. I'm affected by the sadness. Something, you know, happiness may be upon me tomorrow. And that place of what's the identity is a lot, the difference between also an enslaved person and a slave. You know,
this is,
you know, the person was born whole. This is the condition they've been put in. And, you know, that really can help us shift our perception, but it's the kind of thing until you, when you see it, you can't unsee it. But until you see it, it's easy to just have the language of habit, and to take those moments. You know, Mercury with Virgo planets, everybody's going to correct everybody. This is what Virgo does. Here, let me weed that. Help me. Let me help you make that even more perfect, because that's my gift to you. And
well, Virgo's job is to edit too. I mean, that they're fabulous editors. And they're fabulous at, you know, knowing that one little tweak will make it perfect, you know.
Right.
I love looking at a hairdresser or a person who does any design stuff, and even a plastic surgeon. You know, sometimes I elect charts for people that are having plastic surgery, so I look up the surgeon's birth date. And, you know, invariably the best ones have that Virgo in them because there's a precision to it, you know. It's good.
Yeah, and with that, but often it's, you know, Virgo energy, we can dish it out, but can we take it? That it's easy to look for that, to offer that bouquet of slight corrections to the world. And but to notice that it's hard sometimes to hear that and just like, oh, thank you. Remember that those corrections are a gift. They're not meant because you're not good enough or there's a problem. And I think that's going to be an important part of the emotional relationships.
Right.
And Mark, you know, one of the most stressful things our relationship has ever done has been move. So, you know, with Mercury retrograde, how important it's going to be for you all to be really nice to each other while you're moving with these aspects. How's that going?
Going okay.
Good.
He keeps going away on the weekends.
that's part of the problem.
it's part of the. They keep going away. You'll get an email. I'm up in Vermont or I'm up in whatever. I'm like, when are we moving? It's the slow move, right?
Yeah.
With a break in between.
With the breaks in
exactly.
between. You know. Well, they've been in that place what 30 years, right? So it's a long.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff in the closets, right?
A lot to deconcentrate.
Yeah.
You know, you really move
Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde makes it easier.
Are you finding lots of, you know, the one earring that rolled underneath the radiator 20 years ago and hasn't been seen since? Those are always interesting finds with Mercury retrograde. I've been looking for my car keys for 3 weeks, and I just found them. You know, I've been using an alternate set.
You should have called me. I would have done a horary chart for you.
I know. You're so good. You're one of
I'm good at horary. That's one of my favorite things.
Well,
you're brilliant
at it. I remember
a
couple of decades
you helped me
ago.
Find my car keys by horary when you were visiting me, as a matter of fact.
I know. I did. They were under the white paper by the bed, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I found somebody's car keys the other day. They were under a blue couch near the bookcase in the southeast corner of the house or something. And
amazing.
They, you know, crawled under, looked down. They were really under the couch, you know. So
nice.
But we found them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Mine was in a secret pocket in a purse. Go ahead, Mark. A
couple of decades ago, I was doing some changes to a wall. So we closed it up. And before I closed it up, I put some things inside as a time capsule. I don't even remember what
they
are.
Oh, did you?
So when we leave, we won't open the wall. We'll just let it be a time capsule.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you have to open
that
it up before
funny.
You move out, like restoring it to the position it was in? Yeah?
No, we don't. So
no? Okay.
It's going to stay.
It's actually
going to
leave it closed?
Position, but I think I built some shelves in and took some shelves out.
Okay.
Oh, no, I remember. There was a pass-through window in the middle of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I closed that up.
Right.
But it was a perfect opportunity to put something in. So I did. But I don't remember what it was.
I heard somebody who said they got, it was around Halloween that they were doing some house construction. So they took a plastic skeleton and hid the bones in the corners of the house as they built it. It was plastic skeleton bones, but they figured it would be exciting for somebody.
Down the road, right.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Shall we take a few callers?
Yeah, sure, I'm up for callers. You got a few
okay.
people with their hands raised, so that's always a good sign.
Yes.
People have
okay.
questions.
Let's start with area code 216. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Well, I didn't expect to get to be answered so quickly. I'm 92. Oh, boy.
First of all, when were you born? And then we'll get started on that while you think about it.
Excuse me.
Sure. Mercury's retrograde. You go to say something and we cough. It's part of that.
Not that I'm laughing at you coughing. I'm just laughing, right?
No. Oh, boy. No. I released that 7-16-58.
7-16-1958. Okay.
Time?
Yes. Leave 5:30 a.m.
Okay.
Okay.
My name
and where?
Is Patricia. Cleveland,
and where
Ohio.
Were you born? Cleveland. And how can we help you, Patricia?
Oh, I'd like to get some guidance on once I'm being pulled and guided to live in the Southwest, decided on New Mexico, Las Cruces,
mm-hmm.
New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Will my,
have you moved there?
No, not yet. I'm still in Ohio.
Okay.
And it's the slow type of getting there. I want to work from home. So business wise, with my writing, meaning the content and literary writing and music. Will that?
Well, you have just started a whole new phase in your life. About 4 months ago, it looks like you were getting ready to move. When your progress move went into Sagittarius. Right now, your progress sun is around 25 degrees of Virgo, so Pluto is gone back to trine your sun. It's through, it opposed your moon and opposed your sun over the last couple of years. And you're past that, but you're kind of really coming back alive. Now, it may be hard to actually get do what you want to do until after Christmas because Pluto is squaring your Mars at the moment, which can make it hard to, like, you know what you want, but it's hard to make it happen. So I would say it might be easier starting in the new year to move down there. But you can start making forays and finding places to live and exploring possibilities. And any online business you start is good in the next phase. So, I mean, it'll be wherever you are. That's the good thing about online business. You can start it now and move, and that's fine. And what do you see?
Yeah, I would agree. The node is going through your fifth house, so it's not quite to the move place yet, which is I've got a vision of where I'm going, but I don't have that new spot. I haven't figured it out yet. And the node has to get out of the fifth house into the fourth, and then you're going to have Jupiter come to your Mars south node, and that's next spring. So I agree with Heather. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that you have to finish up. Between now and the end of March, because Mars is retrograde. He goes up to your Venus at 23 and stations at 25, but he doesn't quite get to your Vesta at 29 Gemini until next March. So I think great time to plan it, figure it out, and work on it. But I think, you know, if you're trying to get it to move right now, it may be why it feels so that it's so resistant. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, it's a good time to concentrate on releasing. You may not be aware of some things that you actually need to release before you make a move. So look around you and see what is finished, and you're not even aware that it's finished, and let it go. And you'll find yourself getting lighter, and the lighter you get, the easier it'll be to make the move.
Yeah. And with the Neptune on the midheaven, it's forming a finger of God with your Ceres and your Jupiter and your north node. So that's active, but it also is a little bit, it's not really stable in terms of exactly how you're going to do it. It's the dream, and the planets that actually do the work, you know, to Heather's point, that actually pack you up and move you, you know, you're finishing Pluto on that Mars. And I think, you know, the working in music, working in writing, all very supported. And you do have a Pallas Athena line running through New Mexico, so that's helpful because Pallas Athena is strategic and writing and communication, so she's helpful for living there. So I like it as a location for you. You might find it a little dry though with all your Cancer planets, meaning you know, because it's a desert. But now right now you're a Virgo progressed Sun, so you might be like, I want a desert. I'm like, okay. You know, and your progressed ascendant just went into Earth too. So.
And with your double Sun and Moon in Cancer, I would say also you may feel very much of two minds. So part of you really wants to go, and part of you can't imagine leaving home. So the part of you that, you know, Mark said about letting go of things, and also notice if you think you're leaving, you might feel like there's places you need to see, people you need to contact, relationships you need to kind of clean up or finalize or just leave in a good way that needs to be done before you can feel more wholehearted about going.
No, I want to move now. So I'm a bit disappointed because the energy here has always been so...
part of you is ready to go and was ready to go 4 months ago. And part of you is getting ready but hasn't quite made it yet. So just keep going. Keep heading in that direction.
Yeah. But thank you for all your interpretation.
Okay, good luck.
Not saying you're not going. We're just saying when you say I don't have the energy, it's because the planets are kind of, you know, the planets that actually move you are blocking you. So don't take it personally because your chart is saying it's moving.
It is.
But, yeah, it's the timing is when, right? And what happens is your Cancer Sun, Cancer Moon, Cancer Rising, when the progressed Moon changes sign, and now it's in Sag, it's like I have to go somewhere fiery, I have to go somewhere hot, I have to get out of Ohio, I got to go. So that's energetically ready to do it, but then the other planets are kind of going, well, you know, maybe we aren't quite ready yet. So that's where, you know, it's kind of getting the whole chart in unison.
Yeah. every day, get a little bit more ready and get ready to launch that. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, good luck with it.
And we'll have one more. Let's see. Hello, area code 251-545. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, yes. My name is Nancy, and my birthday is September 30th. Yeah, hi. September 30th, okay. 1990. And I'm looking to see if all my transitioning is going to be...
What time were you born?
I was born at 10:45 in the morning in Boston.
In Boston. Okay.
Yeah.
And Boston. Okay, Nancy. And you said transitioning, that you've been going through a lot of changes?
Yes. Yes. A lot of changes. You know, psychologically, physically, everything, just transitioning.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know how that's going to, where that's taking me, you know, astrologically. I think I have a pretty good chart.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know where that's taking me. So
where
I also,
taking
I don't
it's
know.
Up to you. You know, you've
no,
got
I
Saturn on your moon. There's Saturn. Saturn is on your moon, you know, back and forth while it retrogrades. You've got Mars, moon at 17, Aquarius in the neighborhood. There's something about you stepping into your next level of self-care and awareness because you're so aware, but sometimes the habits haven't been that great at self-care because you've been sort of so aware of what everybody else needs. And it looks like you're learning
mm-hmm.
to balance what you need and what everybody else needs. Pluto's trining your sun, your Venus, and kind of waking up your heart, your creative process, who you love, and your identity. Mars is sitting as we talk. It's been going right on your Mars at the moment. It's kind of waking up your independence, your questioning, your search. Your progressed moon's been in Aries, so you've been going on a very independent streak for the last 20 months. And have another 10 months of kind of reorganizing your life and trying everything you can think of. So it looks really good. You know, it looks like you are in this process of remaking yourself, requesting your identity, questioning everything about yourself. And I just keep moving not in away from that Aquarius moon, I think I should be feeling this, and into what do I really feel? What's my deep interior Geiger counter? Moving forward. Mark, what do you see?
Oh. Yeah, it's a period of exploration, and you want to go ahead and let the answers come to you. So you're exploring, but more by feeling, by sensing.
Mm-hmm. And
a big space. Well, I'm really curious because you're a Scorpio rising, right? So your Mars is in Gemini in the 7th, and so we have Mars back and forth over that Mars. And by progression, your Mars has gone retrograde. So we're going to have a retrograde Mars between the end of October and the middle of January, and then he's going to go over your natal Mars three times. So that's kind of like I always configure that the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You know, this is okay, but then I want to change it a little, but then that's okay, but then I have to change it again. And because Mars rules, you know, all your progress planets in Scorpio, and you're having a Venus star point by progression in your chart, which means I'm coming into alignment with my heart's path, and then you're going to have a Venus star point in the House of Hopes and Dreams the week of the 21st of October. You know, you've got some new hopes and dreams that are going to come in that are going to be part of this. And with Saturn going through your third house, you're learning how to communicate. You're also learning how to think. And so one of the, you know, you're thinking in new ways. The stuff we learn from 0 to 14 is our third house. And so with Saturn on your moon, it's saying to you, well, have you considered this? Have you considered that? And because the moon rules a psychological house, it rules your eighth house, you're really doing some really deep internal processing that when you get to the other side of it, you may be like, oh, okay, now that I've done that process, I'm ready to shift. Plus, you're going to have Uranus next year on your descendant. A lot of activity about a move next year. But this year is like the integration of what the new dream is. So you've got a lot of stuff. It makes for an exciting year. To Heather's point, your progressed moon goes into Taurus, which is when it when it's in Aries, it gallops around and drives things. When it goes into Taurus, it settles down and grows things. So I think this year is kind of exciting. The eclipses are big in your chart. They were this spring, too, May 15th and August 30th, and then you have another set of eclipses on your angles. So that kind of wakens things up. And I'll be curious to see where you are next March when you finish the Mars stuff, because he's so much, you know, he rules where you're going, and he rules so much of your progress chart, you know, which is changes, changes, changes. So it's big. And you're also having Uranus opposite your Pluto. So a lot of that is like deep internal unvoiced stuff. I would really, really watch your dreams, Nancy, because you've got a lot of planets in the 12th house. Your dreams, even when you're just sitting, you know, kind of gazing at the clouds awake and you have like a conscious dream, because your chart's really talking to you through that unconscious or through the unconscious energies. Yeah.
I would say there's a lot of unconscious activity, and your conscious mind tends to look up and out and analytical and curious and theoretical, but your feelings are intense and kind of very active in the unconscious. See, the more you can get your conscious and unconscious to talk together, the better you'll be. And so listening to your dreams is a great way of doing that.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I was wondering if I could ask you about looking at someone's chart. Can you see a past life in the chart?
You can see past life influences, not so much, you know, that they were Fred in 1842, but you can see some of the patterns that you saw in past lives.
Oh, wow. And where would you look in your chart?
12th house. 12th house is your past life house. And then the ruler of the 9th house, planets in the 12th, ruler of the 12th house, planets in the 12th. 9th house is the incarnation point in this lifetime. So those are the areas. And then, of course, the moon is your sun in the previous lifetime, and your nodes are where you're coming from, what you know how to do, the south node, and then where you're headed in this lifetime, the north node. So those are the
And any separating aspects can give you clues to what issues you came in with.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, good luck. It looks like we're out of time, and we have to go.
Thank you.
So
thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
Take care.
You're welcome. Thoughtful. Okay.
Bye.
Good evening. Bye-bye.
Okay,
and so
bye.
For all of us, it's time that we are, you know, to say goodbye. This is Heather Rowan Robbins signing off from Montana. And Ann?
Ann Arley signing off from the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side.
Good. And Mark Woltz signing off from the Hudson River.
Wonderful.
With a view.
And
with a view.
I'm not going to be here for the next 2 weeks, so I think my lovely people will be taking the next two shows.
Yep.
So
sounds like a plan.
Take care, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
All right, take care. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.